Among the hundreds of foreign detainees in Guantanamo are 11 Kuwaitis. They say they were doing humanitarian work when American troops swept through Afghanistan and took them captive. Now they want a U.S. federal judge to hear their case. Today, a judge in Washington will consider whether they have a right to go before a U.S. court. NPR's Barbara Bradley reports.
24-year-old Fawzi Al-Oda left his home in Kuwait City in mid-August, bound for Pakistan, where he intended to teach summer school. His father, Khalid Al-Oda, says everything was fine until September 11th, but a few days later, Khalid received a phone call from his son.
Saying he's inside Afghanistan and he cannot get into Pakistan and to get back to Kuwait because the border was closed.
For months, the family tried to pull every string, contacting the U.S. Embassy and the Kuwaiti government. Nothing happened. Then, a few months later, he got word that his son had been taken to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba.
I thought they would check on, you know, good and bad people, and then they would release the good people, you know. And I thought that my boy will be back very soon.
But Fawzi is still not home, nor are 10 other Kuwaitis in Guantanamo who claim they were not terrorists, but humanitarian workers, digging wells, repairing buildings, delivering food and medicine on the Afghan border. It's impossible to know just now whether the 11 Kuwaitis are innocent. Law professor Joan Fitzpatrick says that's precisely the issue.
Where can they go to prove that, in fact, they just got, you know, caught up in the sweep?
The Kuwaitis believe they should go to U.S. federal court, and their families have filed a petition before Colleen Kolar Kotelli, a federal judge in Washington, D.C. The government says the war on terrorism is a military operation, and judges cannot get involved in saying how detainees should be handled. Fitzpatrick disagrees.
The idea that just because there's some kind of a war going on and the president is exercising his power as commander-in-chief and he perceives certain people to be dangerous, that he can just put a label on them and throw them in jail and not have to defend that detention in a court of law, the precedents just don't exist for that.
Others point out a World War II-era decision by the U.S. Supreme Court that said that non-citizens held in a foreign country during wartime do not have access to U.S. courts. But Fitzpatrick and the Kuwaitis argued this isn't a traditional war. It could last for years, and people stranded down on the Cuban island must have some recourse. And on that narrow point, Yale Law Professor Ruth Wedgwood agrees.
Nobody wants any kind of black hole without a remedy. But that doesn't mean that the only precaution against mistake lies in federal district court.
Rather, she says, this is a diplomatic matter. The Kuwaiti government should be negotiating for the men's release. Or this is a matter for a military court, since the detainees are under military control. But, Wedgwood says, if a federal court is open to some detainees, it could be open to all.
Then I would expect that every single prisoner at Guantanamo will bring a copycat habeas corpus, saying that there was a terrible error, that they really weren't engaging in war against the Northern Alliance and the U.S., that they were out hunting squirrels, and that's why they had a rocket launcher, and that should be heard by a federal district judge.
Indeed, courts have been shy to open that door, and so the Kuwaitis are making a very clever argument, says Harold Coe, a law professor at Yale. They're not asking the judge to determine whether they are innocent or guilty.
They're making a more modest claim here. All they're saying is they have a right to know what the charges against them are and a right not to be held incommunicado, and therefore a right to speak with lawyers who have been specifically retained to represent them. I think that's a very powerful case in terms of simple fairness.
But of course, this would give detainees a toehold into the federal court system. And Douglas Kamek, the dean of Catholic University Law School, says that would cripple the government's ability to gather intelligence from detainees around the world.
That would mean the unraveling of the network of interrogation that we're using as the basis to make arrests like those of Jose Padilla, to give us advance warning of suspected terrorist operations on the 4th of July or otherwise.
He says the case of the 11 Kuwaitis is yet another beat in a recurring theme. How do you protect the nation and still preserve the rights of an individual? Barbara Bradley, NPR News, Washington.